This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
He had another great defensive play to end the top of the inning. He is blossoming into one of the best defensive center fielders that I've ever seen, Ron.
He can really go get them, there's no doubt. And his throwing arm is very good, as we saw last inning. The play he made in right center yesterday where he just outran the baseball, that was something.
The Giants used to have a guy playing center field by the name of Willie Mays. Mm. And I'm sure that they would have a good discussion. Pete Crow Armstrong and the late, great Willie Mays. Here's a swing and a foul back. They both, I think, had ability that it's hard to teach certain things.
Well, you can't. You can't for, you know, Willie Mays and being maybe the best center fielder of all time, you know, and some of the greatest catches you'll ever see.
He could throw, too.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
I love that. When Pat Hughes talks baseball history, put things in perspective. PCA is special as a defender. I don't know that he's Willie Mays.
Can he make a basket catch?
he could probably do whatever he wants out there. He makes things look very casual sometimes, very easy most of the time. The thing that surprised me most about his defensive abilities is his arm. Because you don't expect a guy of his stature to have that powerful of an arm. But the blue-haired kid can throw.
Blue-haired kid can do anything. Obviously, I'm not old enough to have seen Willie Mays play baseball, but I've seen tons of highlights of it. And it always occurred to me, like, were the uniforms just different then? Because it seems like there's this unbelievable athlete in this kind of baggy uniform as he's made. Like PCA seems like he wears a tighter uniform. It seems like the uniforms have gotten tighter. I don't mean that in any negative way or anything. I'm just saying, like, when you see
– baseball fashion has changed.
When you see Willie Mays and you think about a guy – like from that era, it was like this incredible athlete inside that uniform. But it's like this; those uniforms were so different than they are now.
Probably just signs of the time or sign of the times. Mm. Yeah, okay. Perhaps. I don't look at PCA and see guy in tight uniform. I just think everybody else's.
Yeah, but I don't mean that his uniform is tighter than anyone else. I just mean he looks like the athlete that he is. There's no, like, it's not like, wow, how did that guy get you know, hidden by that uniform?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, but they made it look effortless and as fluid as they come. So that's quite a comparison. And PCA made quite a play yesterday. They reviewed the play at the plate, and he did throw him out, and it still wasn't enough. The Cubs lose to the Giants. The White Sox lose to the Royals last night. Sox back at it again today. Davis Martin on the mound, I believe, for them. Their series finale against the Royals at 1:10. The Cubs have the day off, thankfully.
Yes.
They need the day off. They need to get together via Zoom or in person, figure out what's going on this weekend. Because the Cubs go to the Mets, and then they welcome the Marlins. The Marlins are in town to play the White Sox beginning tomorrow. So the Marlins are in town for a while. in Chicago to play the White Sox, then the Cubs, which makes you wonder, Mully, big picture-wise, as you look at both teams and you zoom out, which prospect, which minor leaguer will make his major league debut or is more likely to make his major league debut against the Marlins? Tim Elko for the White Sox this weekend or Cade Horton next week for the Cubs?
Yeah, thank God the Marlins are in town. Maybe we'll finally get to some debuts. Do you want an update on the kid that fell in Pittsburgh? This is unbelievable. This is from People Magazine.
Okay.
Kevin Markwood, the 20-year-old who fell over the top of the 21-foot outfield wall, he spoke yesterday. He's like broken his silence, talked to the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. He said that he was all right, and he has a lot of back pain, and he can't really sleep. He expects to be out of the hospital in another week, but he's going to have a long recovery. The quote from the kid is that everything's broken. He said, "I mean, this is extraordinary that he's even talking." He said that. That he just jumped up to celebrate it. Was it a double or a triple at the time? And apparently, you know, fell and just suffered these horrible injuries.
Who interviewed him?
The Pittsburgh newspaper interviewed him.
Okay.
And then they had all his doctors on the television station, and they said that the kid. It's just really been unable to sleep and a slow process. But that
did he address any other issues?
They said he walked again. He's been
well, that's trying interesting. To walk. That's great. That's great.
Oh, it's
news.
Unbelievable.
It's unbelievable recovery.
But he's like,
what does he remember about the event itself?
He doesn't have a lot of memories about the event. He sustained injuries to his skull, brain, spine, both sides of his ribs, his lungs, according to CBS Pittsburgh.
Did he address or was it addressed in the story whether or not he was impaired?
No, it's not addressed. Not addressed in the story that I read here. But it just says that, there's some,
That might be a convenient oversight.
Well, I mean, that'd be a good piece of information, I suppose. It would kind of influence how you
well,
feel
it might.
About
I mean,
it, but I don't
you're
know.
You're thrilled that he is safe and healthy and on the road to recovery.
Yeah, again, he didn't talk a ton, said he's all right. Can't really sleep. A lot of back pain.
Okay. Thanks for the update.
That's it.
That's good. I appreciate the interjection of the health update into
just
our
saw that.
Cubs and Sox conversation.
We saw it happen and we talked about it.
Do you think he's going to be one of these guys that you follow his recovery?
I don't know. I don't know how. I'm not like in Pittsburgh. I don't know how much of a story it is.
I don't either.
Yeah. I mean, I do. I think it's. Honestly, David, to me, it's extraordinary that he's alive.
Mm-hmm.
Because having watched that and seen that, just like a body falling out of the stands. I can't imagine that.
Well, players, I think, that were there firsthand were probably just as shocked.
Right.
And they'll never forget that. And they probably assumed the worst.
Of course.
Because it looked like it would be difficult to expect an update 10 days later from the hospital. And, it's good that he's young and he's healthy. He's 20, correct?
20 years old.
Former college football player.
That's right.
And so he is got a lot of life in front of him. Let's hope that he makes a full recovery.
Yeah, it's just tough stuff, really. Just shocking stuff. We do have some people who want to check in. Let's try Jeff. He's on the Odyssey app. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. All due respect to Bruce, but the one tool in a toolbox that Elko has that Vaughn does not have is a hammer. And what I'd like to say is, when you look at Vaughn, he's 1 year older than Elko. He's been in the league for 5 years now. His best statistical year, he was a 0.5 WAR. Every other year, he's been a negative WAR. He is a replacement player, Andrew Vaughn is. He's not somebody we want to hold on to. Elko, since 2023, has been leading the minor leagues in hits with 339, tied for the lead with RBIs at 199, and ranked second with 568 total bases. So it's almost a crime that he's not up here. I don't know if we should do some kind of class action lawsuit for him as White Sox fans, but what does it show as an organization when you do not bring a man up that's doing his best, playing his best, and here we're looking at a team where there's a guy batting 180 who's on the downward trend, not the upward trend, and has never proven himself in 5 years. But, you know, I'm frustrated, and for the love of Mike Mulligan, I'm sure he's frustrated too. Let's get him up here now.
Bless you, Jeff. Yeah, I mean, it is frustrating because, you know, and if Bruce is correct that he has one tool, it is a tool this team does not have.
Yeah, it's a tool that they don't have in their box.
So I think it's fair to wonder.
Jeff asked a question, and it's in fairness to the White Sox, the only thing that this demonstrates – well, not the only thing that it demonstrates, but it reminds us just how many chances players who are drafted high, how many opportunities they get that other guys don't get. And the opportunity that Andrew Vaughn is given time and again is different than what Tim Elko will be given because Andrew Vaughn was a third overall pick.
Well, we talked to Ozzie yesterday, and I thought he made an incredibly excellent point, which is simply – the message that you're sending, you know, if a guy is playing as well as he's playing, if a guy is doing what he needs to do and you're not promoting him to a team that is among the worst in baseball, the second worst team in baseball, probably should be the worst, maybe the worst organization in baseball. If that's fair or unfair, let's take a listen to Ozzie yesterday.
Besides that, oh man, I got to continue to play hard. Look, I got to get this opportunity. And when they see that, believe me, it's a lot of talking in the minor league. You know, a lot of talking. Like, you don't think Santos feel bad to see this kid every day? Like, oh, God, jeez.
Yeah.
All they show you is you're not a prospect. We don't care about you. How about that?
Right.
If you're not a prospect, we don't care about you. I think they have to. I don't know. I just for the good of the organization, for the good of the fans, for the good of the kids, and for the good of the rest of the guys play for this organization. They got to do it. By the way, if they don't have a place for him to play, I understand. Where are we going to put this kid? Where are you going to play? We call him out. Yes, I understand that. But right now, we got three spots, DH, first base, and pinch hit. Three spots, that guy can fill it up a hole very easy. Maybe the guy got to the big league, failed, but at least you give him the opportunity to fail. And don't fail by two at bat, three at bat. Fail for good at bat to see what this kid can do because he will replace guys. They're not hitting good either.
So Ozzie Guillen obviously puts that in some pretty good perspective. So this is what's going to happen. Tim Elko is going to be here. This is just a prediction, all right? Tim Elko, the Sox come home tomorrow to play the Marlins for a weekend series, right?
Yep.
He'll be in the lineup. Chris Getz will sit down tomorrow before the game, greet the, you know, White Sox assembled media, and explain a organizational W. Because they don't have a lot of good news to celebrate right now in the organization. Double A, we could talk about Birmingham's pitching staff all week long and never really run out of storylines because there's a lot of positive things going on there.
It's really all they got.
But it's Birmingham.
Yeah.
In Chicago, when the team comes home for a series that's pretty – it's going to lack a little buzz. I mean, the Marlins stink, right? The Marlins.
Can they be worse than the White Sox?
Probably. I mean, no, maybe not.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm getting at.
No,
so you need to look at this as an opportunity, not only for your player development, but for the reasons that Ozzie Guillen just articulated. This is a victory organizationally, developmentally. All these things, bring them up. Give the assembled crowd at Rate Field something to cheer about. And this would be something to cheer about.
So if you bring him up and he doesn't hit, how's that different than what's going on right now?
It isn't. That's why you have to do this. You almost have I don't want to say it's a mandate. That sounds way too dramatic. And we're not trying to be overly dramatic here. But I do think you have an opportunity to do the smart thing. It's not just the right thing. It's the smart thing. And it's something that is low risk. It's low risk, high reward. It's the easiest decision that Chris Getz will make this week. Bring up Tim Elko for the home series over the weekend. Put him in the lineup batting fifth at designated hitter. He doesn't have to play first base. Just let him bring his bat. Make sure he brings his bat. Put that bat in Merck's trunk when he picks
when
him up.
When he's driving
in the rental
up here.
Car. Yeah. Put the bat in Merck's trunk. Go to the airport. They can share a seat. Get there early so they're in the B section and boarding. And he doesn't have to have a middle seat. He'll be comfortable. And let him play tomorrow night.
I totally agree with you. I think that it's nonsensical to me. I mean, it just doesn't it doesn't register at all that, let's say, and I can't imagine a reason, but let's say they're worried they'll look bad if he's better than Vaughn. Is that the reason you're not bringing him up? Well, then no, because you've developed someone who's better than a guy that you drafted too high. That would be a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you bring him up and he fails, like you suspect he will, they clearly don't like him, so they suspect something's missing, then you can get all puffy-chested. You know, don't question us. We'll tell you who we'll bring up. That's fine. That is. But if some guy starts tearing it up and you don't react to that, then what you're saying is, you're telling your whole organization, it doesn't matter what you do in the minor leagues, none of it counts, because we're going to determine whether you're good or not. You improve on your own and you somehow get better, we don't care because we've already made a judgment.
It's the kind of statement you don't want to make to your fan base, and you don't want to make to other members of your of other players in your system. You just don't want to make that. So they can address that, the Tim Elko issue, in that way. I think they also need to address the Luis Robert issue, maybe as early as today. I don't know. Bruce alluded to it, but Luis Robert Jr. stretched a double into a single because he admired his line drive.
That's right.
And then when the next hitter, Theis, gets a base hit and Luis Robert Jr. with his speed conceivably could have scored to tie the game in the ninth inning, that's a bad look to every member. You talk about your what is your target audience? And so if you're Chris Getz and you're bringing up Elko, your target audience are players in your organization.
Exactly.
But if you're Will Venable, different situation, but same idea. Your target audience now is every player in that clubhouse. I think you've got to send a message that this, no, whether it's lack of hustle or awareness, it's one or the other. It's one or the other.
Yeah.
If you don't have the awareness to know that you need to hustle out of the box to get to second because you're in a one-run game now, then that's worth some discipline. And if you're just lazy and you're not hustling, that's worse.
Either way, it's a bad look.
Either way, it's a terrible look.
Either horse manure excuse as to why you didn't tear your rear end out of the box and try to score, because guess what? You're trailing. You catch a hold of one, you don't admire it, you run.
There's nothing to admire.
No.
You're down to nothing.
Get on your horse and you get to second base. And again, you know, who knows? He could have stretched it further. Who knows? But that was a double out of the box that the guy just was content to high five at first.
And so now you're first time manager. And I think Will Venable's done a nice job of communicating. He's good with players. Players respect him. They even like him. But I do think you don't always have to be liked to make sometimes these decisions. Listen, although he'll gain respect. Luis Robert Jr. might not like being benched, but I'm not sure I would play him today.
You got to have a standard. You got to have a standard, and everyone has to live up to it. And if someone fails to live up to the standard, you got to react to it. And if the guy, it doesn't matter how good he is and how important he is to your team, you won 10 games. You know, you are failing as we watch you, and it is pretty horrible to witness.
In this case,
you've got to react and hold up a standard, even if the players aren't good enough to play to that standard.
It's pro sports, so this isn't always true, but in this case, process greater than outcome.
Well, this is not about how good a guy is. This is about how you have to play the game.
And your process has to include holding players accountable when they react the way Luis Robert Jr. did in the ninth inning last night, which got Ozzie's ire up, too. Doesn't take much.
Yeah. Oh, no, I mean, listen, you know, the thing is, there are people watching you. There are people that are judging everything that happens. There are people that are holding you accountable for everything. It's your job to go after this guy over that. And frankly, every other team that might be interested in trading for him, they're going to look at that and they're going to look askew. It's not the kind of thing that you were going to say, oh, well, we got to get that in here.
They're going to look askew, not look at you.
All right. We're gonna head to New York, and we're going to break down the Mets a little bit with Evan Roberts next. Mullion Haw on the Score.
Plenty of time here.
It's Tatum. Robinson's on him. Tatum maneuvering. Oh, the ball knocked away. Another great defensive play for the Knicks. They've got it. They've won it. New York has gone up 2-0. And defense again at the end.
Wow, wow, wow. We're going to talk Mets, but when you think of New York, pretty much the Knicks town right now.
Yeah.
Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And we are delighted to welcome in Evan Roberts, Afternoon Drive at WFAN in New York, works with Tiki Barber, and he joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Evan, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. My morning is terrible. Believe it or not, New York features many, many New York Knicks fans. They run this town. But there's a few of us, a few morons out there, that actually root for the Brooklyn Nets. And I'm one of those morons. And last night's Knicks victory took a part of my soul. So thank you for playing that clip. That really made my morning.
Well, it's inevitable because, okay, before we get to Cubs, Mets, the Knicks have done, they went into Boston, they won twice in a row. They deserve some credit. Jalen Brunson is the best, most clutch Knicks player since who?
Well, you know what's funny? Because I'm too young to remember Walt Clyde Frazier, I'll simply say he's the most clutch player the Knicks have ever had.
Wow.
No offense to Melo, no offense to Patrick. This guy has been ice veins incredible since he's walked through that door. It's stunning because when they signed him, it was a good signing. It was a solid signing. Like, yeah, Knicks need a point guard. They hadn't had a point guard in 25 years. And even the value on the contract seemed reasonable. But nobody in their right mind saw this coming. So Jalen Brunson turning into a legitimate superstar and the closer that he's become. And here's all you need to know. I thought about this going into last night's game. The Celtics are the defending NBA champions. All the respect to them. But my thought was, boy, if the Knicks just keep this close in the fourth quarter, they will win this game because of Jalen Brunson. So it is really remarkable. I don't want to rip Walt Clyde because I'm too young to have watched him.
Yep.
So I'll just say he's the most clutch player I've ever seen in Knicks history.
Well, you know, he's a Chicago guy made good. So there's that aspect. As long as he's from our town, I think we're on board with it. We're going to let you get away with saying that. We won't be upset. We don't care about anything but Chicago, frankly. And the Cubs are on the way. Are you ready for it? Are the Mets ready for it? There are two games ahead of them because the Cubs just lost two games. But they got a guy, a young fella named Pete Crow Armstrong, who's probably got a little bit of an issue with the Mets trading him.
Well, guess what? Mets fans have an issue with former management for trading Pete Crow Armstrong for the corpse of Javier Baez. But you know what? The reason we can't get too mad about that as Mets fans is the Mets had this period after Steve Cohen bought the team where they went through numerous general managers for a variety of reasons that I'm not going to bore you with. And at the trade deadline a couple of years ago, they made this trade for Javier Baez. And what's funny is Baez was great as a Met for the 2 months he was here, other than giving thumbs down to the fans. Like, he actually produced. But we kind of knew at the time, like, this was risky, giving up one of our top prospects. But it's tough to get nuts about it because, A, the Mets have a damn good team, and, B, it was like four general managers ago. So who are we mad at? The guy we're mad at isn't even working for the team anymore, but he's blossoming into a star. And I look forward to this series for this reason. The Mets have faced mostly a very soft schedule, and so obviously from afar the Cubs are off to a hell of a start. They certainly look like the team to beat in the NL Central. So this is a little test for the Mets to actually face a little bit of a step up in competition.
24-14, first place in the NL East. Obviously, Pete Alonso's off to a good start. The pitching, I don't know how they're doing it. I don't know how they're winning these games given the staff that they went into the season with. But how would you describe the Juan Soto experience so far?
Juan Soto has not been bad by any stretch, but Juan Soto has not lived up to the expectations. And I know that's difficult when you're making $755 million, but he hit two home runs the other day, certainly a big effort in the Arizona game, but he hasn't gotten that big hit. He has not hit consistently with runners in scoring position. I think most Met fans are calm, mainly because we're off to a good start, and B, there's this confidence that Juan Soto is going to figure it out. But when you at how the Mets have gotten here, you nailed it. You know, Pete Alonso has been an MVP kind of player, and their pitching has been far, far better than anyone could have expected. So the good news is, once Juan Soto becomes Juan Soto, that'll certainly help things out, especially if the pitching kind of comes back to our expectations and Pete cools off. So it hasn't been a bad start for Juan Soto, but he has not exactly lived up to the hype that he was given upon signing that monster contract.
What's it like, just generally speaking, to have an owner who is willing to spend any amount of money that he's not held up by funds? The guy paid $2.4 billion for the team, and he's more than happy to give away whatever contract needed. He's a fan as owner with the deepest pockets in MLB.
It's surreal because our former owners, the Wilpons, especially right. over the last decade of their ownership, stop spending. The Mets became kind of a middle-of-the-market team, and we watched all these great free agents, and the Mets were never involved in any of them. In fact, they lost some of their own, like Jose Reyes and Zach Wheeler. So we went, as Met fans, and remember, sharing a city with the Yankees, where the Yankees will go big-pocket spending. They will go sign Gerrit Cole. They will go sign CC Sabathia. So we went through a decade, not that they were a small-market team, but they didn't act like the big-market team they should. So to go from that to this, like you said, an owner who's genuinely a Met fan, an owner who's not afraid to spend the big bucks, it really is still surreal. He's owned the team for almost 5 years now, and as a Met fan, we're still pinching ourselves that they and we have an owner that is as committed as he is. And signing Juan Soto, especially because we took him away from the Yankees. It wasn't just getting this great young generational player, which is cool enough. It was they took him from the Yankees after he led the Yankees to a freaking World Series berth. So I think the best way to describe these era is for most of us, it is still surreal that we have an owner this committed to winning.
Talking with Evan Roberts, the afternoon host at WFAN out in New York here on The Score. So, Evan, we've had fun this week, and we talk about the Cubs, and yeah, they're in first place, but we alternate days on what the biggest issues are, whether it's third base, starting pitching, or the bullpen, but all three of those things are prevalent problems for the Cubs. If you had to make a list, what's wrong with the Mets? What do people complain about when they're looking at the Mets, even though they're in first place, even though Alonso's doing everything and Soto's starting to hit? What are the biggest things that the Mets are concerned about?
I think for most Met fans, and you guys will see it over the weekend, the top three guys in the order are tremendous. Francisco Lindor is not off to the cold start he's used to. He's off to another really – I mean, he's playing basically like the second half of last year, so he's been amazing. You mentioned Pete Alonso's playing like an MVP, and even though Soto hasn't lived up to the expectations, you look at his numbers, he's still fine. It's after that. It's the protection after the top three guys in the order. So Brandon Nimmo has taken a lot of heat for leaving small countries on base. He leads the league in leaving guys on base. Mark Vientos had a great year last year. He has not backed that up to start off this year. They haven't gotten a lot of production out of the DH spot. So it's really – it's about the lineup, and I think a big part of that is the expectation coming into this season was the Mets are going to match. They're going to have one of the best lineups in baseball, and statistically, it hasn't worked out that way. So I think the biggest issue most Mets fans have had is just from the production after the top three, the starting pitching staff is like, it doesn't even make any sense. I mean, when you look at this rotation, it shouldn't be this good, and yet Griffin Canning, of all people, goes out and pitches five innings, one run, basically every 5 days. So I think Mets fans are thrilled with the starting staff. The bullpen has mostly been good. It's really the lineup after the big three. And, you know, I'm hopeful that these guys are going to turn around. Brandon Nimmo is not a 217 hitter. Mark Vientos, I think, will be closer to what he did last year than what he's done this season. So hopefully this stuff can turn internally. But I would say for most Met fans, that's the biggest issue, whining about the lineup after the top three guys.
You know, obviously, when it comes to Cub fans, the hated Mets, you know, for every great season a team has, there's a team that's left wanting, and the Cubs in 69, all that stuff, the meltdown, what could have been has bothered people forever. And the Miracle Mets left the Cubs in their wake. So there's always going to be that tension from the Chicago standpoint. How are the Cubs perceived by Mets fans?
Believe it or not, we mostly like you. Now, I think generationally, like the older Met fan, like my dad, they don't like the Cubs because of the rivalry, especially from 1969. Even though the Mets got the last laugh, it was still a genuine rivalry. I think for me, like I'm 41 years old, so I barely remember the Cubs being in the Mets division. One of my first memories, though, is Tuffy Rhodes taking Doc Gooden.
opening day, 94.
Yeah. Never forget that, but I think for the most part, we actually don't hate you as much as many other teams. Like the St. Louis Cardinals, we still hate. The L.A. Dodgers, obviously, America hates. Everybody in our division, we can't stand. So we played you in 2015, but you know, luckily we took care of you very easily, so there's no hatred there. So there's nothing. We kind of like you guys. We kind of respect you. And now that you got that championship out of the way, like when you were cursed, this is me personally, I can't speak for every Met fan, I did not want to see you win a World Series. And I know that sounds weird because I just would have been jealous. Like, man, I haven't seen a World Series in my lifetime. I'm too young to remember 86. I don't want these guys seeing a championship. They've waited over 100 years. Well, you know, you should wait longer than I have to. But now that you got the title, I'm all good with you until we meet in the postseason. And then, of course, you'll become a mortal enemy again.
I've only got a minute left, but before we let you go, Monday is the NBA draft lottery, and your beloved Brooklyn Nets have a 9% chance of getting the number one overall pick. The Bulls have a 1.7% chance of getting the number one overall pick. How much anticipation do you have for the NBA draft lottery?
I am sick to my stomach. That's the anticipation I have. I have a stomach ache. Keep this in mind, and I don't think anybody cares, but I'll tell you, it's a little factoid. The Brooklyn Nets haven't had a lottery pick since they played in New Jersey. It's a combination of making the playoffs, but it's a combination of trading every freaking draft pick known to man to either Boston or to Houston. So the fact that they're in the lottery is a very surreal moment, but it feels like it's our big opportunity. They were supposed to be the worst team in the league this year. They overachieved. They won more games than they should have, which is why their odds are where you said. I am going to probably drink heavily before this because I'm that nervous and I'm not a drinker. It's not like that's what I do. So as a Net fan, I dread Monday. I am praying to the basketball gods if they will actually listen. You're putting me through a freaking Knicks run, which is torturous. Can you at least throw me the bone of Cooper Flagg, please? So, yeah, I'm pretty nervous for Monday.
Great stuff, Evan. Thanks a ton. Great catching up with you. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Evan.
Thank you. Should be a fun weekend. Thanks for having me on.
That's Evan Roberts. He's the Afternoon Drive host on WFAN. He works with Tiki Barber.
Works with Tiki Barber every afternoon, yeah. And does a great podcast as well. And, you know, the NHL draft lottery fell for the New York Islanders. Small percentage chance, and they won it.
There is, like, if you're a Knicks fan, you're a Giants fan, you're right? So if he's a Nets fan, he's got to be a Jets fan, right? Don't you have to choose?
I believe that's how it all lines up. Yeah. And then the Islanders. Because Rangers, Yankees, Giants.
Okay.
Typically, is anybody a Devils fan?
That's a good question. That's Jersey, though. It's not New York necessarily, but Devils probably has a following. Jack Hughes, very popular player.
Okay.
You know who that is, right?
Yeah,
I've heard that name.
Okay. Yes,
I knew I'd get an answer from you. That's why I posed the question.
He watches all the Olympic hockey. He knows everything.
He did.
I'm sure I invested in it.
Mikko Rantanen has been pronounced perfectly by Dustin in every update, and now it is a household name.
There you go.
All you need is that
empty net goal to finish up at. What did you call the legitimate? So that was a non-legitimate?
A natural.
Oh, okay.
Natural.
Okay. Natural hat trick.
All right.
No empty netters.
But you implied that the other one was, you know, unnatural by saying it the way you did.
These are the hockey facts, Mully.
Okay.
See news, copy, paste news, deliver news.
We'll be right back. 312-644-6767, Mully and Hall on the Score.
Do you have a starter for Saturday?
No.
Does flexing pitching today take out of that mix?
No.
Will you make that decision tomorrow?
We're going to huddle up after the game here and talk about it, yes.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That was what Dustin described as the no, yes, maybe portion of the news conference.
Blame him. I complimented him earlier in the week and last week about being candid and open, and he has been more so this year, even more comfortable. But after yesterday, number one, two straight losses, really, when you let one loss morph into two, I'd be in a bad mood too. Secondly, you're not going to tell anybody anything before you announce it or decide it. So I get it.
Yeah, I think that, you know, you got to be careful to ask questions that can't be answered yes or no in a post game. So you would say something more the lines of...
What would you say? How would you
I think the only thing you would say is, you know, how does using Chris Flexen impact your decision on Saturday?
Right.
Something
what is
like
your
that.
thought process as it pertains to Cade Horton's anxiety level Saturday in New York, something like that.
Sure.
Open-ended. What, how, why?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's understandable. Sometimes you do want to have a yes or no, though, too. Sometimes it's okay. I would rather know directly, did using Chris Flexen 2 days in a row impact his availability for Saturday? No. Okay.
That would have been fine.
That
would have been a powerful no, because it would have meant that he was still in the running to be, what is it, an opener, a starter?
Yeah, opener.
What is it?
It's an opener.
Okay. Is he still in the running to be an opener after pitching on Wednesday?
Yes.
He's okay to start,
yes,
to open in New York?
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Ask me another yes, no.
No, I'm not. I can't handle another yes. Yes. I don't want you barking at me, for God's sake.
No. No barking.
No barking.
Counsel's okay. He hasn't been reticent this year
with
the media.
He's been cooperative.
I don't think that's an issue. It's a long season. And two things about Craig Counsell. I don't think that the public aspect, the dealing with the media, is his favorite part of the job. I don't think it's as he's good at it, I think, but he's not his favorite part of the job.
It's, no one loves that.
And I don't think this is related to that one. I don't think he suffers fools very well.
No, and that's
not that the group
issue.
Is full of fools, but you know what I mean.
It's just being second guessed for a living is difficult for anybody.
Yeah, it would
and
be.
If it's somebody who you don't, you know, and I don't want to say he doesn't respect someone doing their job, but someone who maybe you feel like doesn't line up, isn't capable of really questioning you. It's you know, you've got to be able to handle that as a manager, as a head coach. I get it. Not suffering fools. It's really more about not the person being a fool. It's the foolish question.
I don't really like that term, even though I know what it means.
Yes.
Because I think it's derogatory.
It is derogatory.
And it has an implication about your audience that isn't necessarily what you intend to mean.
Right.
We're not calling the group of people asking Craig Counsell questions all the time foolish or fools at all.
No.
But when you say somebody doesn't suffer fools, pretty much you're all business. He's pretty much all business. 90% of the time. Can you remember Craig Counsell, it's the exception, not the rule, that he is kind of lighthearted and silly, or somebody that is, you know, prone to a one-liner or a joke. He's not really. He's a serious guy.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's fair. And that's good. It is, I think, when you're covering someone who is like that, you know that, and you understand the kind of workarounds
his personality.
That are important for you.
Ozzie Guillen used to hold, it was like evening at the Improv, his
no question.
Pregame media sessions. And
no
they
question.
Were terrific.
Yeah.
The off-the-record stuff was even better.
Oh, I totally
But that
agree.
Was in tune with his personality. So that was authentic and who he is. Craig Counsell, likewise, that's who he is.
Yeah, I don't think he's a bad guy. I don't think he holds people in contempt. I don't think he's arrogant
Except
in
Bruce.
Any way. No, he just goes back and forth with different people. That's all.
Yeah.
You get to know people and you develop a rapport with them, and sometimes it's a negative kind of rapport, but it's still a rapport.
It is. Yeah, that back and forth is fun.
It is. Well, you know, here's the thing that's great about it. You're desperate to find out a piece of information. You really want to get ahead, so you want him to say something, and he doesn't want to say a thing. So he's just cutting all the questions short and his responses short, and that's just how he's trying to go about not giving you an answer to a question. And I got no problem with that because they don't want to say yet, for whatever reason, who's going to start on Saturday. All right, we're going to be right back with Big Z, talk some football, Mully and Haw on the Score.